Listen to part of a conversation between two students.
Okay, so do you want to review that legal terminology that Dr. Bryant went over in class?
Okay, yeah. But I was going to meet my roommate at the union. We plan to jog around campus for some exercise. You can come along too if you feel up to it.
Great, thanks. I'd like that. But shouldn't we review the terms first?
Okay, we've got a few minutes, I guess. So, what was the first one?
It's burden of proof. What do you remember about that?
Okay, well, this one has to do with the fact that in law cases, every person is presumed to be innocent until they're proven guilty, right?
Well, yeah, but what else? What's the important thing?
It means that the party that brings the case, that's the plaintiff, has to prove the allegations in order to win the case, okay?
Okay. And the defendant, that's the person who's being accused, has the right, or the opportunity, to disprove the accusation. That is, the defendant can show or try to show that the accusation is false and that the evidence used against him or her is weak.
So that means that the burden of proof is always rests on the party, the person making the accusation. Because the defendant is presumed innocent, and so has to be proven guilty. So in a criminal case, it's up to the prosecutor to convince the judge or the jury that the allegations are true. The burden of proof rests with him or her.
The prosecutor, that's the government lawyer, right?
Usually. But as far as I can remember, anyone can act as a prosecutor. Except in certain types of cases. Anyway, what was the next term you wanted to review?
Well, what exactly is meant by circumstantial evidence?
Okay, circumstantial evidence. Let me think. Yeah, well, that's like indirect evidence.
Yeah, okay. So it kind of implies someone could have been involved in a crime. It doesn't in itself directly prove who did it.
So what about evidence from a witness who says they heard or saw a person commit the crime?
No, that's not circumstantial. That's called direct evidence. It has to be more indirect than that. Just about everything that is not direct is called circumstantial.
Remember Dr. Bryant gave an example? What was it now?
Yeah, okay. He gave a couple of examples. One was, suppose a man earns a certain known salary and then makes some big purchases way beyond what someone on his salary could afford. He might buy a luxury yacht or a new beachfront apartment or something. And this happens around the time he is alleged to have stolen a large sum of money. This is not direct proof, but it is circumstantial. It would help build a case against him.
Right. And it could be used in a court of law, right?
Yeah, right. Unless the connection is really weak. Didn't Dr. Bryant say that, in fact, most convictions in court are based on circumstantial evidence?
Yeah, I remember him saying that. Most people have the opposite idea, maybe from watching too many TV dramas. But in real life, circumstantial evidence is considered very persuasive. A strong circumstantial case is often better than an eyewitness description.
Now get ready to answer the questions. You may use your notes to help you answer. 30. What are the students mainly discussing? Why does the woman say this?
But I was going to meet my roommate at the union. We plan to jog around campus for some exercise.
32. According to the conversation, which of the following statements are correct? 33. What can be inferred about the value of circumstantial evidence for prosecutors? 34. According to the conversation, what do most people think about circumstantial evidence?